Hey everybody, welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Mooney. I'm here with...
Chocolate Donut!
Yes, that's your new name.
You stumped everybody.
Yes,
Paul we... Presenza, known as the Moo Cow. Moo! Nom, 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 nom.
And we're also with...
Just Jen.
And we're also with Lady here, and Continuity Monkey.
You mean beggar for food?
Yes.
Well,
yes. You... She's a dog, that's what happens. Anyway... and now here's some mood music.
Mood.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here to talk about Romeo and Juliet.
Yay!
This was my pick. It is a 1996 film that was shot, I believe, in 95. 1996 film from Troma, a.k.a. Lloyd Kaufman directed. James Gunn co-wrote with Lloyd Kaufman.
And it's Troma-rific.
It is. It is very Troma-rific. It is pretty much just... I mean, I don't really have to go into much story. It's pretty much Romeo and Juliet... A fucked up Romeo and Juliet. Like, that's all I can say is, like, it's a fucked up Romeo and Juliet. That's great, and all the cast are wonderful, and we're going to get into that in a sec, but it is just, like, if you can imagine all the stuff that that William Shakespeare never planned to put into Romeo and Juliet, that's Tromeo and Juliet.
I like to describe it as Romeo and Juliet on bath salts.
Bath salts, or acid, or... As they talked about meth at one point.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. What would you classify it as, Jen?
Weird.
Weird.
Yes. Yeah. It was different. It definitely was a different take on the Shakespeare classic.
Like weird in our kind of weird, or is this a new kind of weird for you?
I don't know.
She can't tell the difference.
I'm still traumatized. I'm
traumatized.
Traumatized. Yay! We got one.
She was traumatized, ladies and gentlemen.
It happens. It happens this when is what your happens. First trauma. This is your first trauma film, isn't it?
You're asking me? You
what?
Guys are the ones picking the movies.
Oh,
I don't know what we meant, period.
Period, yeah.
I haven't watched any of these kind of movies.
Right.
Well, there you go.
So this is her first, she had just, like, busted her trauma cherry.
Oh, dear, you went there.
Yeah. Oh, I knew he was.
Well,
oh,
I mean, dear. I had to eventually. Anyway, yes.
Moving right along.
Moving. Oh, and there's a lot of cows in this movie. So we're going to probably make a lot of cow jokes.
Yay.
And stuff.
That was an awesome cow suit. I wanted it.
Well, me and him.
Okay.
You know, you might. Who knows?
Lloyd Kaufman, if you're ever going to sell that cow suit, please let me know.
I don't. They probably got rid of it.
Oh.
It really wasn't that special of a cow suit. It was just a cow costume.
I know, but I like
you
it.
Can go get a cow costume at any time. You know,
don't get the kind with the udders on it. That's just weird.
Oh, yeah. I'd love the udders.
Oh yeah, it was so like I mean awesome. Like it was. All right, anyway,
it was movies.
Okay.
So we'll start talking about the cast of the film. Will Keenan played Tromeo.
Yay.
And Jane Jensen, the lovely, lovely Jane Jensen.
Very lovely. Very played, good.
Oh, yeah, she was wonderful.
She had to put up with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And she did it like, she was the sweetest
what
of
a
them
trooper.
All. Of all the characters, she was like the nicest character. Like, I know Juliet is the nicest, right, period, but like, you know, when you watch this movie, there is no, like, Tromeo and Juliet are, like, the most likable of all the characters, you know?
Right.
Everybody else are just assholes in some way or another.
But nobody else has to put up with popcorn and mice coming out of their bellies, or being turned into a cow, or being chained up in a plexiglass coffin, amongst the other indignities that she had to suffer through.
Yeah, definitely. There were some big things to that, you know. Moving on.
Moving on.
Then there's there's a guy that we thought looked very much and acted very much like a Seth Green
kind of
guy, which was Valentin. Let's say his name
he's,
wrong.
He's like a cross between Seth Green and Dennis Leary. Is kind of how I would describe him.
His name is, I'm going to get this, Valentin Malie. I am saying it wrong, I believe.
He was very good.
He was great. He was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I know he's done a lot of work with James Gunn later on, did a lot of stuff like, I don't know if he was in Slither, but, you know, things like that. He's been in, worked with him later. And then Sean Gunn played Sammy Capulet, right. And Sean Gunn was hilarious. Do you remember that character? Yeah, and I just like the idea that, like, he was just, like, once again, there's a really fucked up version, so he was wanting to get with his sister or whatever throughout the whole thing.
And he's, like, you know, incredibly skinny and goofy looking, and he has, like,
the hair
twisted into some kind of strange
knot. Well,
half
of it was shaved, and then these little, like, mini pigtails. Right,
and he's wearing some kind of, like, nightshirt thing that goes down to his knees. It's very odd.
Yeah, he was hilarious. He later on went on, like, Gilmore Girls and played one of the most, like normal kind of roles. Like, you would not imagine that this guy would later on go and be in, like, mainstream films, but he's just wonderful. He's a great actor. And then we've got Deborah Shawn.
Of course.
Yeah, she played the nurse, basically, the character.
Impressively tattooed Debbie Rashawn, I must say.
Which I don't think she has those tattoos, so somebody in the art department did a really good job on her makeup or whatever.
I'll have to ask her about them if I ever get to see her again at a con or something.
I'm sure you will. I haven't seen her in a while, but I'm sure she's going to be back at some conventions. Let's see. There's, Lemmy is the one who runs the whole thing, does the narration. And I'm not going to really remember. Like, I don't know a lot of the actors' names that are in the movie, but there's, like, the father. Both fathers are goofy in their own way. Right, have their own things. Like, the Capulet father is just really over the top and kind of...
over the top, you say?
Yeah, I think all of the characters are pretty much over the top.
But it's very well acted by pretty much everyone across the board. I mean, there's, you know, there might have been one guy that I thought was a little... I think the same guy that you mentioned had some times when he was kind of a little flat. But for the most part, everybody's really, really good. They all sort of... gung-ho, go at it 100%.
Oh, you're meaning the guy who played, was it Tyrone? Yeah, oh my goodness. He had some moments where I really thought he shined. Then he had some moments where I'm like, whoa, that...
A little flat.
Yeah, it was just not...
A little uneven performance.
Yeah. We'll get to some scenes later. So the guy who played Tyrone, I didn't think he was... No, he was great, but he had some moments, and that was good.
The leads were especially good.
Stephen Blackheart, who plays the, I guess he was a Mercutio, because that's what what the Seth Green kind of guy was, but one of the other guys, you know, what are the other cousins? Stop making fun of me for a second.
He's not this guy.
He's the other guy.
He is the other guy.
The guy who had the shirt.
He was the tattoo. Well, a tattoo and slash and piercing guy.
Yeah, the piercing. Don't forget the piercing. Oh
God!
I know you love the piercing. No, we all kind of looked away at that.
We all cringed at the nipple piercing.
Yeah, there's a live nipple piercing that's caught on film, and that's rough. I'm just gonna say.
Yeah.
Although the finger chopping is kind of rough too. The effects are quite good, even for a trauma film. It's quite good, quite convincing. So there's some rough stuff there. So you might have to look away a few times, like we did. But
yeah, I mean, if you're not into that stuff, right? Some people might be into that shit. I don't know.
Oh, I know it.
There's a lot of hmm.
Sucking down a donut, are we?
Yes. Well, okay, we are eating donuts while we're doing this because there were a lot of freaking donuts.
Donuts and bagels in this movie, so there's no way you could do that, you know, you could go through a review without eating some, so.
Oh, no.
Had to. Nom, 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 nom.
And there's popcorn, but we'll get to that popcorn scene, you know, I guess, when we talk about more stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay, so we talked about the characters. There was a lot of great characters. There's more. I mean, there was a lot of people, so I don't want to go into every single character.
I know.
But...
there was the great fat lady at the party.
Right, and the strange guy with the...
the old man that's just sort of standing there in a long tutu and tiara.
Yeah.
My favorite guy.
He's just
so
standing
far.
There and doesn't... doesn't even move, really. He's just like, I don't know what he's looking at either.
That's why you always try to put somebody interesting in the background of your movies, you know?
Just because, like, if you get bored, you can just look at the guy in the background. Right. And be like, oh, what's that?
Who the hell's that?
And the old lady, the fat lady, was just like listening to all the conversations that people...
Making a face.
And making faces when they're saying it. Like, she's actually, you can tell she's listening.
And having fun. Know?
Yes, and then not doing anything because they say, oh, let's go steal stuff. And she's listening and making this, oh, my God, face, and then does nothing.
Does nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
funny.
It was hilarious. Troma does that. Like that. They're very good at just creating weird shit happening that you just can't explain that.
Oh, yeah.
That isn't like, what was that one line? The guy who played the cousin or whatever goes up and is like, Bad monkey. If you haven't seen the movie, please do. Please go see it because you're going to laugh your ass off. He, like, this dude literally looks over. I don't know what is going on exactly, what they said before.
Wasn't there an argument before?
Right. I think so.
Yeah.
And, like, he was, Stephen Blackheart's character is just, like, yelling at the guy about whatever, and he looks at him and goes, bad monkey!
There are a number of fun lines like that, you know. I remember one point, Tromeo says, oh, the cops and the caps are after me.
And we both were, like, cops and caps. That's hilarious. And
the quip about the ladder before the guy's ladder takes the guy's arm off. I forget the quip, but it was cute.
Sooner or ladder.
Sooner or ladder.
I'm into that kind of stuff, so I thought it was funny. Let's see. So the movie itself is just so strange.
And over the top. I mean, we talk about over the top, but this is Troma level over the top. It's way beyond. And, you know, some people can be a kind of a turnoff. I think it's fun. I think it adds a whole other level of energy. And I do love the fact that Juliet has a stuffed cow. I mean, that just shows you what kind of a wonderful human being she is and what kind of a heart she's got. And it's just wonderful.
It shows you what she turns into later.
Well, there's that too.
I think that was why they had this. And they have she meets Tromeo and at the party, he's dressed up as a cow.
As a fuzzy stuffed cow. I mean, so it was in stuffed, their but... stars. It was in the moon. They were destined to be together. The milk of human kindness.
Oh, all right. let's move on. So, all right. So, special effects. We talked a little bit about that, but we'll go right into more detail on that. There were some really gross stuff in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Some stuff that just made you kind of sick or whatever. Now, there were scenes like, I think the piercing scene was real.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that,
no doubt about that.
I'm still cringing.
I know. It's tough to, you know, but you got to mention that because that's something like, that normally, like, if you did a Hollywood movie, they wouldn't actually show that, you know? So they actually did, and it was kind of, it was like, why not? I mean, if somebody wants to get their
right, it's like taking something pierced and turning it into sort of a performance art sort of a thing.
But they didn't have painful to, like, zoom in on the nipple piercing.
That's the exploitive part of it.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned something about the car flipping over. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, in Troma, they have this thing, and I don't know if they still do it. I know they just did Return of Nukem High, and I don't remember this being there. I know, I believe it's in Poltergeist, but I could be wrong about that.
Too.
Well. Yeah, it was in the older stuff for sure. They have this. I guess in, I don't know if it was the first Toxic Avenger or when it was first done, but there was a car flip scene that they have reused over and over again for basically for all their movies. So at least all their older films.
Gotcha.
And so basically this car, you know, flips or whatever, so you always have to set it up. So in this particular scene, James Gunn is with two kids, two, like, I guess, sons and a wife or something, and they're driving, and they're singing a song, like, something about a peanut.
Finding a peanut.
I found a peanut, and then the somehow or another a head comes on. The head gets one of the heads gets chopped off, falls on it, causes
Tyrone's head.
Right.
Tyrone's head.
Yeah.
Tyrone's head gets chopped off from the ladder, flies in the air, lands on their car. He, instead of stopping, he continues to go, and then they flip.
Totally crash.
They flip, and, you know, you see the car flip, and then explodes. So there's a line in it where it's like they found a peanut of death. And I was just like...
Well, it was funny, too, because, of course, you know, the parents are shocked and are screaming and yelling, and whereas the kids, they see the head, and they're having fun with it. They think it's hysterical.
Yeah,
they start laughing, and in fact, they start playing with them back and tossing it back and forth at one point, as you do when you find a severed head.
Naturally.
Why not? I would.
Well, you always want your kids to get ahead.
Stop it. There's many bad puns as in the movie.
Never!
Alright, well, okay, so there's a few really cool special effects scenes. There was this the makeup of the cow, of her turning into a cow.
That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty amazing. We weren't sure exactly what she was until she mooed.
Oh, I was utterly convinced that she was a cow. Utterly convinced.
I kind of knew it.
You kind of knew it?
Yeah, it was just you. I
was the only one who was...
You thought she was a pig.
I thought she was a pig. I thought because he was into pigs, you know, and he put his freaking whole head in the pig. We didn't even mention him before.
That was London.
London, which Arbuckle. Is obviously London Arbuckle, who's supposed to be Paris from Romeo and Juliet. And his over-the-top performance is just blew me away. I loved him in the movie. Like, I don't know who the guy is who played him. He did a wonderful job.
He did a very traumatic kind of job.
I know, he did a trauma job.
Psycho.
Yep, there you go.
He's crazy and everything. And he was into meat, and then she was a vegetarian. So kind of fitting that she became a cow, you know, or whatever.
And he tried to give her, raisin loaf.
Raisin loaf. That just sounded awful.
I know.
You know, it was gross, but it was funny. Like,
absolutely.
I think that's pretty much sums up the movie anyway, like gross but funny. Had like that whole thing. What I like about these movies is that people grew up watching this because, you know, a lot of people, like, I remember seeing it in my local video store, and I would, you know, I rented it and everything. Actually, I rented it years later in life than I should have. I should have rented it back when I was in high school.
Yes, Acker.
I know, right? I'm a late bloomer with a lot of things. That was the thing. Like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was... I don't know, I just thought it was a really fun...
Well, it's a very, very fresh and radical take on Shakespeare's play. We've all seen the Olivia Hussey 70s version, which is, you know, a little on the starchy side. You guys liked the Baz Luhrmann version. I didn't particularly care for it. I thought it was overblown.
I thought it was interesting.
Without being fun.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Romeo and Juliet story itself.
Right.
So none of them really...
You want to see kids kill themselves?
Yeah, well, just
pretty much
teenagers making bad decisions because they're dumbasses is basically how you can sum it up.
It's kind of boring, too.
But it's a very interesting and like I said, somewhat radical take on it. So it does freshen up the story somewhat. And then we do have to mention the fact that there's a lot of the language from the play that's actually in the movie, in a trauma movie. And it works. And, you know, obviously there are times when he's changing some of the words in order to make it fit and sort of make it a little bit more modern, which kind of adds to the, to the bizarre nature of the film. But it's interesting. If people didn't know that this, you know, what trauma movies were about and they came in and saw it, they could at least recognize the Romeo and Juliet part from which this movie was based on, I would think, pretty closely.
They did do a good job of slipping the Shakespeare in. There were a couple parts I'm like, okay, that's just a little too cheesy. But I did like the parting is such sweet sorrow. Right. And then she says,
right. Now, then fuck it. Now yeah, Shakespeare,
no,
did,
he says fuck it.
No, Shakespeare did not have the penis monster.
Well, before we get into that, I want to finish that. I love that. Love that line. Mm-hmm. Parting is such sweet sorrow. And then he says, totally sucks.
That's it. Yeah.
That was just like one of my favorite lines all yeah. day. Right. Just...
Because if he had gone further with the actual thing, it would have been too cheesy and just like.
Right.
Oh yeah, I remember the one where he says, "What light on this plexiglass breaks?"
she groaned at that. Aww. She groaned at that.
That part.
Groans at all like the puns and the other things. You know, you groaned at Sooner or Later too.
Oh, yeah,
know?
I love that part.
We enjoy that. Yep. That stuff.
You
fun.
Guys would.
That's our style. Now, yes, to go back to special effects and talk about the penis monster.
The penis monster. So at one point, poor Juliet has something of a fever dream because she's upset about having a being forced to marry Meat Guy, London, Arbuckle, and she has no interest in him. And she's, you know, captivated by this new guy, Tromeo, that she doesn't know anything about. And so, and plus she's always getting, like, absurdly fondled by her father, so there's a whole other thing that's going on.
Yeah, don't forget the nurse.
And then, of course, there's the nurse who also gets quite personal with her. So in the midst of all this, she ends up having this really fevered dream in which she meets the Fabio of the 1990s, you know, with long hair, and he's all oiled and muscly. And
I don't think it really was Fabio.
No. Just a Fabio wannabe.
Yeah.
However, he came with a very interesting set of equipment that was a penis monster that was clearly some kind of sock puppet. but it was quite funny, and if you weren't expecting it, boy, were you surprised.
I kind of wanted a penis monster movie.
Who
like,
doesn't?
Like, I want, like,
who
you know, a
doesn't?
Talking penis monster movie. Like, that would be, that. I'm surprised they didn't do a spinoff.
Right. Well, you never know. I mean, there are such movies out there. I know I have a couple.
Well, Killer Condom is one of them.
Killer Condom is one.
No, yes, dear.
That was a real thing. That is a real movie.
Y'all are on your own for that one.
One-Eyed Monsters is another one.
See, she draws a line at penis monster. Like, if that's it. That's all she can take. And I was surprised she sat through that. Like,
I
was like, no, I'm done.
No. Yeah. Jen was a trooper.
And, like, well done. There are some things in this movie that I was shocked you were okay with. Like,
I had my phone.
Okay. She could look away.
Yeah.
She
had I knew the nipple piercing scene would probably be the worst for you.
That one was the worst because of the needle,
right.
I will say.
Right.
I mean, the boobs didn't bother me. But yeah, that neat. Oh, no.
You know what? All right, if you want to go into worst, okay, the worst for me was the live lizard eating
the mouse. Yeah. That's cringy.
I know. It's because. I mean, I've never had one. I've never had a lizard, so, like, I don't watch that happen. They have to eat, but, like, do you really got to videotape it? And, like, does it need to fit with this movie, you know, right?
And the dead squirrel. I felt bad about the squirrel.
But I don't think, I almost felt like that could have been a fake squirrel.
Probably.
Or, like, one that they found already dead.
Probably.
Most likely was, because there was a mention later that he threw something in a,
pigeon.
I know, but pigeon, he said that. But it made me think that maybe they are, like, letting you aware that there are ways to do this, actually doing it.
And kids out there, if you ever want to be a production assistant on any film, that's the sort of thing you get to do. Go find a dead squirrel and bring it on set.
So there you go, kiddies. You're able to go help a trauma film out and go, you know, find dead squirrels, I guess. All right, so I guess the cinematography was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it was very well done. They definitely, like I said, spent some money, and the shots all looked really, really good. The lighting was really, really good. All the production elements were top-notch.
We could have sent Continuity Monkey home.
I know. He was barely around. Not needed at all.
I don't think he was needed. I don't remember any continuity errors.
No.
Now, I'm sure there were some, because there's always some in every movie. But nothing that I
out.
Could, like... Yeah, nothing very big that stood out. Now, if there was a continuity error, most likely they did that on purpose,
right.
too. They right. do that all the time. Like, you know, somebody will, like, move or something, and you know that they did that, like, on purpose to make that happen. Yeah, I think...
For the most part, the movie was clean, as you know, production-wise. I can't say that there were any dead spots. There was no muffled dialogue. The lighting was good. Everything looked good.
They did have the sound in the one scene that really started to get to me.
Which scene was that?
It was one of them where she's in the plexiglass box.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the one where Tromeo finds her in there, and it was very, like, staticky and pop and that kind of...
Oh, yeah, I remember that, too, and I remember thinking to myself, if you're going to be doing a Blu-ray, that's the sort of thing that you would think would be eliminated, but...
And I didn't see any reason to keep it in there. You know, you guys were talking about keeping in continuity things, and that one was like,
No, I was kind of disappointed by that, but I think what I've kind of learned is that Troma Blu-rays aren't much more than the actual DVD transfer. They might add something extra to it, but like it's really literally the DVD transfer. Mm-hmm. They don't really clean it up and do anything different to it. So but the thing is it's harder to get the DVDs now, so the Blu-rays are what's pretty much available. So I mean you're pretty much just buying another DVD.
Right.
I needed a new DVD of it, so...
The only other thing I can think of is, I remember you did remark about the one scene where the band is playing, and you're like, they are clearly not listening to that song that's being played. You know, it's a very different song.
Well, and that actually happens in two parts.
Right.
In the very beginning, where it looks and sounds like this, they have this heavy metal band, and everybody is slow dancing and grinding on each other.
As you do.
And then at the party, they have more active music, if you will, and people are trying to waltz or I don't know what kind of dancing, but it's all slow.
Right.
And it's like they're totally ignoring the music and doing their own thing.
Right. So who knows what actual music was being played on set?
Yeah, that was weird.
That would be funny if they told them to do one thing and then they... You know, put the wrong music, like, you know.
That would be a Troma thing.
But it was very jarring in the beginning. Because it wasn't like a couple people were just grinding on each other and slow dancing. It's like everybody.
Right.
Right. So it's like, obvious that they're listening to a different kind of music.
Yeah. That's okay. It stood out, but it didn't spoil anything for me.
Okay.
But otherwise, you know... People forget that Lloyd Kaufman is a pretty darn good director. So, you know...
Who forgets that?
Well, there are folks who don't even know that he directs. That just see him as the guy that pops into certain movies every now and again. You know?
Right.
As the spokesman for Troma, they forget he's actually a quite a good director, as his partner is, too. I believe he directs as well.
Michael used to direct.
Yeah.
Michael Herz, who...
More producing now?
He's always did producing, but he directed, I think, in the very beginning, like, Troma's War and a few of the other ones, mm-hmm. he did it. But I think he pretty much let Lloyd do most of the work and stuff. And Lloyd kind of took over and did all the fun, you know, films or whatever and did that stuff. And he did the, you know, he's the business guy, you know, and
right.
Lloyd is the creative guy.
That makes sense.
You know, so... I'm hoping one day when I get more stuff going on, I need somebody to be the business person, and I can just sit back and do all the creative stuff.
Kind of like, monkey.
Yeah.
He knows how to get down and do business.
For sure.
So when we talked about actors, did we talk about Tiffany Shepis?
I don't think so. And she's in it, very small part.
Right.
Supposedly, yeah, it was her first role. The way that I heard it, and this might not be true because I was just listening to an interview she did. We were watching some behind the scenes, and she did an interview, and she just... Lloyd said she was 16, so obviously he either already knew she was 16 when he did it, or she lied and said she was 18, and they didn't know till later that she was 16.
Right.
Either way, but she couldn't do any of like the nudity, which she did do later on in movies or whatever. But she had always looked up to Deborah Shawn, and especially seeing her do that stuff, and it's kind of fun, because later on she got to be in some great movies with her.
There you go. And then we also, of course, one of the other trauma folks that always seems to be there is Joe Fleischiger. He shows up for his little cameo role as the very, very non-interested phone sex guy, which is very funny. Are you done yet?
He's like eating a pizza and saying, oh, yeah, baby.
We're having major sex now.
We are having major sex now.
That was funny. It's a shame when he passed away.
Yeah, rest in peace, yeah, Joe.
It's unfortunate.
I used to chat with him back in the MySpace days, and he was super sweet. Really liked him. I could not work with him, unfortunately, like for a project that I wanted to so badly. Mm. But he is a staple in the
Troma
universe. Yeah.
Right. And his scene in Poltergeist will live forever.
Yes, which you will not see.
No, you will not.
No, you don't need to see it. You don't.
We don't need to traumatize you that much.
Nope.
Not but you know what? It strikes me when Tromeo is in his cow costume and he's doing the hands on the head, I immediately thought of Home Alone. And you got to think, did the one thing influence the other?
No, because Home Alone was before Tromeo and Juliet. So
you got to wonder, and it was shot in New York, so you wondered if that was a little nod to it.
Home Alone was shot in Chicago. It was supposed to be Chicago.
Was it Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
The original Home Alone. The Lost in New York was the second one.
Oh, that's what got me confused.
Yeah. So they did go to New York, but the first one was Chicago. Because that's where John Hughes is from. Anyway, that is not about Troma. Wow. Alright, go back to Tromeo and Juliet. So anyway, we're watching the movie while on mute while it's going on. That's why he brought up the random thing about the cow, because we weren't talking about the cow suit earlier.
And I always love talking about the cows and
yes,
cow suits.
Yes, yes. He loves the cow suit. But, so we're at that scene right now, and I seriously still love all the random people in the backgrounds.
And Toxie makes an appearance, and so does Sergeant Kabukin.
What is that guy doing? Like, there's this guy in the background that's just, like, literally staring at everybody, and it's another guy. I never saw that guy before. And that's the great thing about Troma, is you can watch it more than once, because you'll find something, find something new each time.
There's always some odd little thing going on in the background.
You have to think, I wonder if that's what Lloyd directed, or if it just happened that way.
I like to think it happens that way, but you never know.
Well, Troma's set is very
chaotic.
It's chaotic, but it's also very structured. They do structure it. Like, it's chaotic because they have a bunch of people who are not, who aren't getting paid generally, for the thing. So it's a little chaotic.
It's a labor of love.
I wish they had done a documentary,
right,
about the making of it, like they did with, Terra Firma or, what's the other one, I think Toxic Adventure 4.
Okay.
Yeah, so they did a few, and Poltergeist had a great making a documentary. But yeah, I loved all the characters in this movie. I loved especially just the interactions between everybody. Mm-hmm. They all seem to be having a fun time.
Oh yeah, clearly. And they capture the whole hatred between the two houses, too. I mean, the sort of illogical, just they're going to hate each other no matter what kind of a thing going on. It's they captured that pretty well, I thought.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree. I mean, I don't know if this was done around the same time as the Baz Luhrmann one. And so I don't know if they just did their own thing or if they had some kind of idea of how to make it, take the modern twist like Baz Luhrmann did, because there are a couple of scenes that I was like, this kind of reminds me a little of the Baz Luhrmann one. Not a little more over the top, but,
not nearly as fun, I have to say.
Really, you don't think Baz Luhrmann's as fun?
Not really. I just found it overblown, personally. But there's definitely a lot of fun stuff in here, which is nice, and it proceeds along with gleeful abandon. You know what I mean? It's it doesn't pull a lot of punches, and he just kind of does. Lloyd just lets it go as the way he wants it to go. He's not compromising anything. He's got a vision, and he's sticking with it.
We did forget to mention one character that comes at the end of the movie is the priest.
Priest, right. Some jokes on him.
Well, all the jokes are the same jokes, yeah, you know.
The
about,
ones you might expect.
Yeah, the ones that are the typical about a priest, you know, and
work
stuff.
Work with kids.
You know. Or what was the other...
He daydreams
about a kid, you know.
Oh, dear.
He's talking to Tromeo about love.
I had a great love once.
Oh, my goodness. But it was funny. Like, it was kind of what you expect. When he said that, we all knew what he was talking, where he was getting at, where it was going. It wasn't, and it was still funny. Like, you know, it wasn't, to me, it wasn't eye-rolling. It might have been to Jen a little bit, maybe. But to me, it wasn't eye-rolling. I thought it was still funny. But, yeah, so the priest comes in and kind of helps Tromeo and Juliet out because they got to get out of this marriage or whatever. So he tells Juliet to basically go down to Chinatown.
Right.
And meet with this guy who's going to basically help her...
It's like,
you know,
Fung Yu or something like that. I forget his name.
Yeah, and he was a black guy.
Yeah.
He was in Chinese, and I was like, man, I am blunt Fung Yu, you know, like, yeah. Whatever.
Get over it.
Get over it. That's exactly what he says. And then she's like, give me,
She explains her situation.
Like, the whole thing.
From her birth to, or actually before her birth.
Yes.
All the way to what's going on. And he's like, at that time, he's like almost sleeping.
Yeah.
And then she explains it, and he's like, all right, all right. And I'm like, really? You stopped right at the end to say all right?
That's what I got. I was wondering what happened. You're going to sit through the entire life story and the story of her dad?
And then at the end of it go, all right, all right. Like, at the end, when she's already done. Oh, man, it was funny.
Although Dad does get his comeuppance in a very humorous kind of extreme way.
True.
That is definitely, you know, he definitely got, which was kind of funny because, I don't know, was it a TV or a computer?
I think it was a computer monitor.
It's a computer monitor.
Very square. It was too square to be a TV.
Yeah, he got a computer on the head and, you know, and then she plugs it in, which I was waiting. I mean, you saw that cord. You
dragging
knew something
cord.
Was eventually going to happen with that.
Right.
And then she, you know, so his head exploded.
Although it was funny because before she clobbered him with the computer monitor, she was kind of using the stuff in her bedroom to attack him with. So bobby pins and a hot curling iron. And a...
which is vicious.
I know.
I burned myself on a curling iron before.
The nail file, which, you know, started off as small, but then when she's stabbing him, it's like 5 inches long. I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah, it looked small at first, and then, you know, it was not very small. Yeah, so that guy took a whooping.
Yeah, the ending of this is not the Romeo and Juliet ending.
Not quite, because there's a twist. I don't know if we should spoil it.
Yeah,
spoil.
We've been spoiling the movie the whole
day. Yeah,
there's
a couple twists there.
So it turns out that through various machinations, Tromeo and Juliet are actually brother and sister. And once they're told about that, they're like, whatever. We've come this far.
That's where your line of fuck it came from.
Okay.
Right.
She said, fuck it.
Right.
You know,
and then there's an epilogue where they're sort of, you know, doing the whole three kids in the suburban house in Jersey. The kids are all, you know, mutated because they're incest.
Like two faces.
Right.
Yeah, except for the baby.
Right, right.
And I literally think they did do that because I believe this is what I heard, and I could be wrong, but this is what I heard. That Lloyd Kaufman's wife did not want, you know, their baby, because it was their little baby, to you know, have any kind of makeup or anything.
Although the two kids were his daughters.
Yeah,
right?
Were also his daughters, and they had makeup on. But I think once again, I could be wrong, but the baby, I believe, was Charlotte Kaufman. Mm. One of the many, there's three Kaufman kids, I believe.
Right.
Three, and I think they're all daughters.
All daughters,
and
right.
They, you know, I believe the youngest daughter was the baby in that and stuff, and I believe that would be right. She'd be about nine, you know, she was probably born 94, 95, something like that. So that would be about right for
yeah,
Charlotte.
So Mrs. Kaufman drew the hard line.
So nope, can't have makeup
on my...
Don't
mess with the baby.
You know, but everybody else, you know, when they get old enough, they can have makeup on. Because, you know, they love that stuff, I believe.
I'm sure. You got to wonder if the daughters are going to carry on in the family.
Oh, they already are. Yeah, I know. I know Charlotte's doing stuff. And,
oh, that's good.
One of the other ones is, there's like Lily and Elizabeth, I believe. So I'm not sure which one is doing stuff, but I know they're all doing their own thing.
That's good.
And
trauma forever, baby.
I know, but you know, but they're doing, they're not, I don't think they're doing much with trauma exactly, but they still, you know, I mean, they do, you know, occasionally, but I think that they're mainly trying to do stuff on their own. So that's awesome. So let's see. So yeah, we talked about the ending basically too, and that was a great ending because it was not a tragedy. If you want a technical tragedy.
If you don't mind, you know, incestuously marrying your sister and producing mutant children as a tragedy.
Well, but they were all happy.
They were happy.
They're all happy. They lived in that
laying around.
Yeah. So I would say that was a happy ending.
It was definitely not the ending that the bard wrote.
I know. You know,
makes an appearance at the very end.
This is true.
Who makes an appearance at the very, very end. He's laughing at it.
I love the variety quote that says, Shakespeare transformed into a no-holds-barred B-A-R-D.
Oh, God. Well, isn't that how you spell no-holds-barred?
No.
How do you spell barred?
B-A-R-R-E-D, as in you've been barred entry.
Oh, okay.
And I like the tagline, too. Body piercing, kinky sex, dismemberment, the things that made Shakespeare great. It's certainly the things that made the Troma version of Shakespeare great.
For sure. Now, I was always wondering why they had Tromeo and Juliet, but not Tromeo and Juliet?
Tromeo, yeah.
Juliet.
I don't know.
It was not a, you know, it was kind of, I guess Tromeo works, but
right.
If you did it too much, people just wouldn't, you know, either wouldn't get it or might not like it.
Now, you could have done a mashup where it was like Tromeo and Toxiet. That would have been interesting.
Or Kabuki Manette.
Right?
No.
Right?
Which both of them make a cameo appearance.
That's true.
In Tromeo and Juliet.
Absolutely.
In the costume scene.
And that's the thing about the Tromeo, or the Tromaverse, is that it is consistent and a lot of characters will show up in other movies.
Yeah, it's a Tromaverse. Like, it's a Troma universe. And I love that they do that. It's kind of like Marvel. We should have they should have like a Troma Avengers.
That would be great.
You know, right? They can bring back Tromeo.
That would be awesome.
You know, and things like that.
I don't know. He wasn't a very strong person in this movie. He's kind of a wuss.
Yeah.
Even at the end, Juliet took control. And
okay, bring Juliet back.
Okay.
That's fine.
There we go.
I was going to say, Romeo throughout it, he kind of gets his butt kicked a lot of times. He does an okay job fighting there towards the end, but
sort of. She's the one who puts the plug
I mean,
in
before that when he's fighting
right.
all the.
Well, he's busy being in love. That's his thing.
Makes guys wimps.
Romeo in real life.
Yeah,
in real life, the real life Romeo. No, but the other movies. Always, he was always a wimp. You know, like Leonardo DiCaprio, I hate to say it, he was a wimp.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. So you kind of expect that a little bit.
Yeah, he's just a lover, not a fighter.
Right.
And that's exactly what this Tromeo is.
More of a pretty boy.
Yeah. This Tromeo is just, Romeo is more like a lover. He does just loves, you know, people. He's very much a pushover. His girlfriend, or I don't know what she was, girlfriend, whatever, Rosie, was cheating on him.
Right.
And he didn't seem to either. He's, like, so naive, he didn't realize, like, when he was on the phone with her that she was having sex. I mean, it's just, that was silly, but
that was very silly.
It was funny because it shows you what kind of person he is. Like, he's so trusting of his girlfriend and would never think she would do that.
Because, you know? Again, he's a teenager.
I guess that was the reason why, but all right. But yeah, I just think that this movie was just fun and enjoyable.
It was.
And, you know, I don't think Jen will ever watch it again. But
No.
No. She was thinking about it for a second. Maybe.
I was trying to think of a witty comeback, but I got nothing.
No. You're like, nope, no, I'm not seeing it. Lady would watch it again. Right?
No. No.
Okay. Lady would watch it again.
Oh, yeah. Well, you give her snacks, she'll watch anything.
Oh, that's true. You know. But yeah, no, it was definitely something that I just forgot how graphic it was at times, and how gratuitous it was. And then, once again, that's trauma.
Right.
But, yeah, it's very gratuitous. Sex, violence, language, I mean, everything.
Right. But, you know, it never really lingers. Like I said, the one thing I've never really cared for is things like torture porn. So there's nothing like that where it's sort of gratuitously glorifying violence. The stuff that does happen is just, it's over and quick, and there's definitely levels of buffoonery involved. It's, you know, there's levels of humor. You don't feel like that in some movies where it's just clearly they're just trying to be extremely violent for the sake of violence. And there's nothing like that here.
Right.
Which is good.
I have to say, one of the kind of, when we're talking about the violence and stuff, one of the scenes, I don't know why I thought it was absolutely hilarious until the very end, was the scene where, what's the guy's, Sammy's head is stuck in the window, and they're driving around with his head stuck in the window, and he's hanging out the side. I don't know why. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
It was funny. I liked it, too.
Yeah, it was funny, and then he gets clonked in the head or whatever, and his brains come out.
Yeah, I could have lived without that part.
You see, that's the thing, that you were thinking that stuff was funny, and then I was thinking him picking up brains off the side of the sidewalk was like hilarious.
Trying to pat it back in.
Trying to put it back in, like it's gonna, you know.
It reminded me a little bit of the scene in Toxic Avenger where the guy goes into the acid or into the toxic waste and just kind of melts and falls apart.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh!
Yeah. Also and to go into like the like the scene.
You can do it.
I can do it. All right. The scene that one of the scenes I loved the most was the scene where they were where she was turning into the cow.
Yay.
And she has this like fever dream once again, and it's all the dead guys coming and talking to her, saying that she's gonna die, she's gonna become part of them and everything. But they were so over the top and so fun, and even Tyrone, who we had mentioned before, like I just wasn't really a fan of his stiff acting in the beginning. He felt more like he was trying too hard. And in a trauma movie, you don't try too hard. You just you just have fun, and it just didn't felt. It felt like he was trying to act, and it didn't do well in a trauma movie. But that scene, I think it's because he was with those guys, and those guys were so over the top that it made everybody over the top.
You're trying to squish us like ants. Squish, 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 squish.
And then, what is it, they start singing like the we'll be going down by the river or whatever.
There's
a
lot of that.
What? I didn't get that song.
I don't know. That wasn't in a Romeo and Juliet, was it, or something?
No.
Not at all.
I have no idea.
I kind of thought maybe you guys knew what
Well,
the
one
song
of the recurring
about.
Themes I think that happens with a lot of the Cho movies, I know Lloyd Kaufman has a lot to say about certain, you know, far-right religious hypocrites that he likes to poke fun at. That's just one of the targets, and I think that's really what that was referring to.
Maybe. I don't know what
we'll
it was.
We'll have to ask him next time we see him.
Anytime we see him. If we ever see him. Lloyd, come to one of the conventions around here.
Yes, please.
Come to Scares That Care, please.
Come on down. Come watch movies with us.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. That'd
be awesome.
Hilarious. That'd be awesome. But I don't think he has time. He's so busy.
Well, I know. That's a good thing, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, and he always brings, like, trauma movies with him.
That's
to places.
Great.
You know, so if he's always carrying trauma movies.
So he's like Johnny Appleseed, you know, instead of planting trees, he's planting trauma movies to grow.
Yes, or Santa Claus just handing them out to children.
Trauma Claws. There's a movie.
No.
Yes, Lloyd, make Trauma Claws.
Trauma Claws.
I'd watch that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's do our stinkometer.
Okay. So, and then remember that the larger the number, the more stink. In my case, I would have to give this a 4. Actually, more like a 3.5. You know, there isn't really a whole lot of stink. I thought it was really, really well done. Of course, it is quite over the top in certain places, and the budget kind of shows in other places. But overall, I think it was a very solid effort, and it's one, even though it didn't quite make my top 10 troll movies, it's up there in definitely my top 20 troll movies of all time.
Right. And you said that the more the stink is...
the worse the movie.
The worse the movie. So 10 would be the worst really of bad. Really bad movie. All right. So what would you say?
I would have to give it a 4.
Okay. 4?
Yes. Yes. Although... Yeah, you guys were saying all the production, everything was good. The story and some of the extra stuff, I don't care for as much.
Right.
But that's my personal thing. I did think some of the acting was a little stiff. There were a few odd things that you can definitely tell it was low budget. But everything else was very well done.
But otherwise, you preferred mm-hmm. the Baz Luhrmann version.
I didn't say, I don't like the story of Romeo and Juliet. It is boring to me. I do not like it. I do not like any of its incarnations. I have seen it live. I have seen it as a ballet. I don't like the story.
Right. But you hadn't seen it like this before.
I hadn't.
Oh, yeah, now she has.
Yes, thank you.
Yep, it'll just give you something different.
Yes, something else to add to the list.
Yeah, this, you can.
We'll do the sock puppet version for you next time.
Oh no, that's quite okay. I'm sure. Wait, you
the
have
penis monster
else.
Version.
There you go.
All right, so
3.5 from me, 4 from Jen. What about
you
Mr.
had
3.5?
I thought you said 3.
You know, she said 3.5.
Three and a half.
Oh, excuse me.
No, and I say 3. And I say 3 because, like, I've seen a lot of trauma movies. And there are a lot of ones that are worse than this
one. Oh, yeah.
And not in a bad way. Well, some are.
Some are, yes.
There are some really bad trauma movies. But there are some really, really good ones. And this is up there.
Yeah.
This is, like, my favorite trauma movie. We discussed that in the thing. So hopefully you've watched the video first. Oops, spoiler. But that was my number one pick, was Romeo and Juliet. It's a fun movie. It's really over the top. It's, of course, cringeworthy at times with stuff that it was like, ah, I can't believe they did that. And that kind of stuff I love. If
right.
you can do that and still entertain me, this is not a movie that bored me. Like, the energy kept going and going. It's just, it was a fun movie.
Right. And it, it's a full, what is it, at least it's an hour and a half at least, isn't it?
Right, yeah, it's I think it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good.
Let's see, what was it say? 107 minutes, so it's an hour and, it's an hour and 47,
hour
and 47
hour, minutes.
37
so,
minutes.
Math skills, use your math skills.
Man, it is late. All right. You guys didn't need to know that anyway. Yeah. It was 100 an hour and 37 minutes. There we go.
Pretty darn good.
I would say if you get a chance, buy the Blu-ray. It's only like $20 on Amazon. It is definitely worth a rent. It's like Paul and I don't think it's that stinky. She doesn't think it's that stinky either compared, but it's not. You know, as, I don't know, like, is this the most you've ever given? Is 4 the most you've ever given?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't.
No.
No, I don't think so. So this is...
We've seen worse movies.
We've seen worse.
Yeah,
oh,
definitely.
Oh, yeah, much worse.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is definitely up there as one of the better movies that we are going to probably watch.
Production-wise.
Yeah, production-wise and sometimes acting-wise, too, I think.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely noticed the difference amongst the films so far for the acting.
There is a gradient.
And they know what they're doing when they're acting, overacting or whatever. They know that that's the way it's supposed to be. It's
right.
Not...
A lot of these guys are trauma vets, so they understand the trauma way of doing things. They know what Lloyd expects They know when they see things in a script, they know exactly what they're doing.
So the guy, the old man there, that is the old man with the tiara.
There you go.
And he goes and he steals bread from the
nice,
you know, poor, I guess, or something.
How awesome would it be to just do like a walk-on role, just a little, you know, non-speaking role in a trauma film? Just do that a few times. It must be fun.
Yeah. And, you know. And
so are you offering your,
heck
your
yeah.
acting services
any,
here?
Anytime. Anytime. Would love to do it.
You'd have to go up to New York and do it. Because, like, they will literally, they would let you come work for free in their office.
I'm sure they would. And if they let me wear a cow suit, I'd be all about it.
Yeah. I knew that was coming.
I knew it was coming.
The cow.
You were going to mention the cow
suit. It was inevitable.
Yeah.
The cow has to come back.
Absolutely.
We can't end the show without talking about a cow.
Absolutely. You know? And, you know, I mean, when their vast library of stuff and all their props, you know that cow suit is there.
Yeah.
With my name on it.
It says Paul Prezenza.
That's right.
A.K.A. the Moo Cow. A.K.A. what did you say in the beginning? Like eating donuts?
Chocolate donut.
Chocolate donut. That's
the
new
one.
Wiped
out our chocolate donuts.
Yeah, they're gone.
Gone, baby.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for checking this out.
Yay.
We really appreciate it. If you enjoyed it and everything, subscribe to, I guess, on Podbean. We're on Podbean. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes. Check us out on indiefilmcafe.reviews, our website. Also, check out sickflickproductions.com. That's this is actually a part of a Sick Flick podcast network now. So
Yay. That's
pretty cool. We're gonna have more stuff on that. So keep checking out sickflickproductions.com. We'll have more information soon on all those things.
And don't forget our YouTube channel.
Our YouTube channel, also subscribe to that. It's Indie Film Cafe. I don't know, like, it's really big. I think you just look up Indie Film Cafe and it'll pop up.
Plug that in and it'll pop right up.
Right. So just check that out. Also, we have Instagram, Twitter,
Facebook.
I think Jen's got, Jen cooks that.
Yep.
That's right.
So there you go. You can go learn some fun cooking recipes.
Some old cooking recipes. Some of them turn out very delicious. Some yeah. not
Will
so
you be
much.
Making anything based on Romeo and Juliet?
No.
Or cows?
No.
Oh, poor cows.
All right. Well, thank you,
I'm
guys.
I'm sure I could find some sort of jellied beef concoction thing bring.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Get your creative juices flowing.
And on that note, thank you guys so much for checking this out. We hope you enjoyed it. And listen next, or I think in 2 weeks, we are going to be doing
Barn of the Blood Llama. Finally, I managed to find the disc. Continuity Monkey was hiding it, but I found it.
Yeah, I keep saying Blood of the Barn Llama. Like, I don't know why. So I'm like, I'm just going to let him say it from now on because I can't say it right. I don't
Barn
know.
Barn of the Blood Llama.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
And it's a totally, totally different movie.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I was thinking the same thing.
But you know what? It is what it is. We'll see it. And we had to change our tagline there.
Oh, yeah.
We changed our tagline. What's the new tagline for it?
I believe it's something along the lines of the Lords of Indie, Low Budget, and Micro Budget Film.
Yes, so check that out on indiefilmcafes.reviews.
And we got pictures there now, too.
We do. We got pictures. You can see what Jen looks like if you want.
Why me?
Because we're on the videos all the time more than you are, you know? Like, whatever. You know?
You're the hot babe of the group, aside from me.
And ladies.
So everybody wants to see you.
Lady's a hot babe.
That's true.
Yeah.
She's jealous, you know. Aww.
Yeah. She definitely looks jealous.
She's so jealous.
Mm-hmm.
She's jelly.
It's okay.
Oh!
All right. Anyway.
God, I hate that word.
All right. Once again, on that note, thank you guys.
Lots of notes here.
Lots of notes. Way too many.
Yes, everybody.
We need to cut this out. All right. Have a good one, guys. Hope you enjoyed it.
Until
bye.
Next time. Bye.
Next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh.
Bad monkey.
All right.
Yeah, so, but, you know.
So.